Bring on the Los Angeles Kings. Yes, the series is set. Oilers and Kings, a third consecutive year. Come on, Oilers fan, admit it. You're relieved. Everybody was playing it all cool about it potentially being Vegas, but better matchup for the Oilers in the early going here. Struds and I are going to break it all down. We're going to preview a series. Rob Brown is going to hop in whenever he finishes his day job. And let's rock out a podcast tonight. As the regular season is finally done. Coming at you as always from our Long Shots studio out here in Sherwood Park. Did you know Long Shots is available for corporate events? Why not have some fun with your coworkers? If you're a business owner, give them a call, set it up, treat your people. Why not? It's so much more than just golf. And as always, our program, show, podcast, live stream, brought to you by Sherwood Buick GMC. Big, beautiful dealership just off Baseline Road on the way into Sherwood Park. Can't recommend them enough. They've got a streamlined sales process, a warm and welcoming staff. They've got vehicles on their lot. You can test drive the vehicle that you want to buy. Financing is made easy. Oh, and by the way, the vehicles are awesome. I have the GMC Sierra 1500 elevation, and it's great. Sherwood Buick GMC can hook you up. Go see them at 10 Auto Mall Road. Strudy, wow, the LA Kings almost blew it, buddy. What an insane finish. And maybe for anybody who's listening in podcast form the next day or didn't actually see it, take us through what just happened there, man. The Kings were in control, and then they weren't anymore after Vegas had lost.
Yeah, so watching Vegas, they lose. You're like, okay, now we know who they're playing. And then the Kings are up 3-1. Chicago comes storming back, rattles off four in a row? Yeah, no. Yeah, three goals in a row. And then Kings score one to tie it 4-4. So that's where it stands right now as we're speaking, I believe. Overtime is just starting, but it doesn't. What happens now is irrelevant. The Kings got a point. Vegas didn't. Oilers, Kings for the third time in 3 years. I mean, like, you want the rivalries? There you go. You got one 3 years in a row.
I know. Crazy, man. And like, is it just me? LA was playing like they didn't want Dallas. Like when they let that lead go, they had a whole bunch of giddy up in their step. So penalty late, the power plans up sniping. But sorry, LA was playing like they wanted no part of Dallas there, buddy. Like they had their hustle on big time. And Dallas smoke showed them this year. Wasn't even close between Dallas and LA this year.
Well, I'll actually count. I thought that as the period started, I thought Kings looked really like slow.
They thought they had it. Scared. They let their guard down.
I honestly think they almost look scared. Like the Blackhawks, with all due respect to that team, are not the juggernaut they looked like in that period of three goals they scored. They were all over the Kings. Like, I'm talking all over them. So
yeah,
it was a weird game. You're right. They weren't. I don't know if they were running from Dallas, but I thought when they got the lead, they just looked really almost tentative and scared. And the guys I'm used to making plays, Doughty, Kopitar, Kempe, all these guys that we used to make plays were not making plays out there. It was really weird. It was a weird, weird game for that.
So Vegas doesn't come up with a whole lot tonight, where they lose to an Anaheim team that on most given nights, they don't have a lot of business losing to. And that opens the door for the Los Angeles Kings. All they needed was a point. They ended up getting two. They win that game like 6 seconds in overtime on a Kempe snipe, by the way. As much as Oilers fans might be like, oh, Talbot is ripe for the picking and kind of feeling that after they saw that, then they watch Kempe snipe like that and they go, oh, yeah, that guy. Like, so let's talk about the matchup here, Struds, and we'll get to breaking down the hockey game here in a couple of minutes. Actually, let's break it all down in our breakdown brought to you by Mr. Dirk, the iconic men's clothing store founded in 1939 just off White Avenue on 102nd. Mr. Dirk has everything you need for every aspect of your wardrobe, casual clothes like jeans and pants, shirts, sweaters, and shoes, and on the formal side, a great selection of brand-name suits and sport coats and ties, and they do customs as well and in-house tailoring. Check them out at MrDirk.com. So season series this year between the Oilers and the Kings. Went well for the Oilers, a 3-2 win to start. Then you'll recall in February, a 4-0 loss, followed up by 4-2 and 4-1 wins for the Oilers. Straight up, Struds, this is a better matchup, I think, for the Oilers than Vegas would have been. You could make an argument that, you know, slaying that dragon early, taking on Vegas and just getting after it in round one, there might have been some value in that for the Oilers. If you get by Vegas, now you're really cooking with gas, right? If you beat LA, you just beat LA again, and it doesn't really start for real till after that. But it is a better matchup for them, isn't it?
Okay, three things. One, yes, it is probably the easier of the two teams would be the Kings. Second thing, is it easy to beat a team 3 years in a row in the first round of the playoffs? I'm not sure. Sooner or later,
I don't think so.
Maybe Kings have to have it. Maybe they have to get their due against the Oilers. And third thing, if I had my choice, if I was in charge, I would have had the Oilers play the Vegas Golden Knights. I believe that, you know, as to use the word slaying the dragon, it would kickstart them, get momentum going into the second round of the playoffs to bring down the defending Stanley Cup champion. So I would have preferred Vegas in the first round to any other team. And quite frankly, I'd rather play Vegas in the first round than I would in the second round. Hmm. Although they can't play now. Could they play? Yes, I guess they, theoretically, I guess they could. But yeah.
It's interesting. You know, like, LA goes to bed laying their head on the pillows at night when they're thinking about, you know, where they want to be and where they weren't able to get. And it's the Edmonton Oilers they're thinking about. Right? Like those players, it's been the Oilers. Oiler fans know that feeling. For a whole year, it was Colorado. And for a whole year, it's Vegas. And you sit on that, right? You feel that. Well, 2 years in a row for this core group, it's been the Edmonton Oilers that they've had to sit there and think about. And so, you know, they're not going to back into this series. They're going to come out, I mean, some kind of fierce in this thing. What do you think that means? You know, you made the point about beating a team three years in a row is not going to be easy. What do you think that translates into when the puck drops?
Well, I mean, I think any Oiler fan knows this Kings team really well. You know, they've played this team a lot over the last the regular season and the playoffs. So I think they're familiar. The characters haven't changed that much on that side. I believe that Victor Arvidsson didn't play last year in the playoffs. He's a playoff performer, and not surprisingly, tonight he's the one who got the equalizer to ensure that the Kings were going to play the Oilers. But I just look at the Kings. We know how they like to play. We know how they like to kind of sit back and just wait for the Oilers to counterpunch or to counterpunch on the Oilers if they make a mistake. So I think the rule or the word that I would use to describe how the Oilers have to be this first round is discipline. They've got to be disciplined in the way they approach this game. They're going to build the wall. They're going to build a massive wall, the Kings, and you cannot break against that wall. You have to continually do either use your speed or chip the puck behind the wall and go and get it. Do not try to stick handle through them all. If you're getting stymied, and there'll be times where Kings are set up really well, where they hold it. And then Shauger, you just got to be patient. Just keep chipping it through and be prepared to take advantage of the chance when you get them. But they can't just go in there saying, we're going to win this in four. We got to get out of this in four.
Yeah.
Be patient.
It is going to force them to play a mature game where they stay with a game plan that they don't love. Right? Like Leon Draisaitl, he had the great quote when I said, you know, well, it wasn't a great quote, but I said, there's a little piece of you die every time you got to dump the puck in. And he said, yeah. But against the LA Kings, I mean, that's just part of it. You need to pick your spots to try and carry it over the line. You need to make sure. And sometimes that means you got to give it up and you got to go get it back. Leon Draisaitl is not the best puck pursuit player out there, right? That's not his forte. So you're going to have to play a mature style. You're going to have to believe in the system. You're going to have to believe in, oh, are you hearing that? Did you hear that phone just ring?
Yeah, sorry. I'm just calling Brownie.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Right on the air.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The volume was up. It shouldn't have been.
Oh, no problem, buds. You're good, Steve. You're good. We can't wait for Brownie to join in. But Struds, it's going to force them to play a pretty, you know, mature brand of hockey where they have to stick to a game plan that they don't like and, you know, not let frustration set in no matter what happens.
Yeah, the good thing is they've been through this, right? They've seen this already twice. But I just worry a little bit that they'll be in a hurry to just slam through this team and try to get to the next round. I think that they They've been through it. They understand. They just take one, quite frankly, one period at a time. Just handle the puck, handle the pressure properly, be patient. And then once you get in the offensive zone, that's when you take control. That's where you're grinding. That's where you've got your half-court offense set up. And, you know, I think of all the goaltending duos in the Pacific, I would suggest to you that the Kings are at the bottom. I don't think it's close. You guys might have a different feeling, but I think they're at the bottom of the West of the Pacific Comp division for sure.
Hi, Brownie.
Hello, guys.
How are you doing, my friend? How was the post-game show? How were the callers? Were they in a panic? How's everybody doing?
No, I don't think so. Actually, the callers were pretty good. I think most of the post-game was watching the Vegas game and then watching the LA game. Yeah. So I had both games on, so I got to watch all of the hockey. Vegas did not play very well as the game moved on. They're missing, I think they had 7 regulars out of the lineup tonight. Yeah. That's the team you want to play in the first round. They're beat up and injured right now. The LA Kings, they were dominant. They were dominant other than a span where Cam Talbot let in 2 bad goals. But it was a game that the LA Kings were completely in control of from start to finish. And it took till about 1:20 to go in the National Hockey League season for the Edmonton Oilers to find out who they're playing in the first round.
So, Brownie, I let Struds have his say about whether it would have been better to kind of try and slay the dragon in the first series against Vegas, or if, because it's maybe an easier opponent against LA, if that's better. How do you view this first round series versus what could have been against Vegas for the Oilers strategically in this year's playoffs?
Well, I think the Vegas Golden Knights, if they get through the first round, will get better as the rounds go on because they have a bunch of players that are injured, coming back from injuries or coming back from illness. If they're fully healthy with the team they have, they are a very good hockey club. But right now, they are not all healthy. Aiden Hill played tonight. He did not play well. He's just coming back from injury. That is a team I think that the Oilers would have, I think anyone would want to play that team in the first round because they're so badly beat up. The LA Kings are a good hockey club. They are. Their problem is in net. And I heard Struds just talk about it. Now, I would go with LA versus Colorado. Those are the two worst teams for goaltending. It's Colorado. Georgie the Fifth has been terrible this year for Colorado. But LA is good everywhere. They might have to. But the LA Kings are good up front. They're deep down the middle. They got good defensemen. But the one weakness they have is in net. I think the Oilers have a huge advantage with Skinner over Talbot. But it's not an easy out. And I listen to Struts. You do not want to look past the LA Kings. Like, 2 years in a row, but it took 7 games in the first year, and it was a 2-0 score in game 7. And then it was in 6 games last year. So LA's good. The Oilers should be favored. And as Reed pointed out before I left, the Oilers finished the season 5 points ahead of LA, which is like 1 point a month. So it's not as though there's a huge discrepancy. So this should be a good series, but it should be a series that the Oilers win.
Mm-hmm.
Question for both of you guys.
Yeah.
I know we're getting ahead of it. Do you load up the top line against Kings?
Yeah, I was just going to go there, Struds, because I'm looking back on... Thunder. No, not at all, buddy. No, it's a great point by you. And it's a good place to take this now. Because
I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah. I have some information for you if you'll just let me
eschew it.
That's not a word. Both series, they started on separate lines and ended up together. Games 4, 5, and 6, they started the games together. They shifted that way partway through the series, and that's the way they got through the series, was with McDavid and Draisaitl playing together. And Evander Kane was the guy that was on their wing for a couple of those games. I think when they first switched it might have been Yamamoto. It ended up being Evander Kane. This year, they've gone, those guys loaded up against the LA Kings as well. I think Chris Knobloch has looked back at the history of it, and I think he's shown a willingness to do it against LA. It'll be very interesting to see if he's willing to start the series that way, because that's the way it finished last time around. I'm not sure what Knobloch's going to do, but I think they're going to end up playing together in this series, Brownie.
Oh, I'd say 100% they will. And if I'm Knobloch, you're on home ice, you're favored, you got the fans are going to be going crazy. First shift of the first game, I have my best line together. And I'm just saying to the LA Kings, here's what we got. You haven't been able to stop it the last couple of times we've played in the playoffs. We're going to start with them. Show me if you're capable of stopping this line. So I'm starting. If I'm Knobloch, I'm starting with McDavid and Draisaitl and Zach Hyman. Game one, opening shift, that's my line.
Yeah. Struds?
I bring it up because I've started him too. I think you just put him out there. Now, things can go – if it doesn't go well, then you got to backtrack, right? But
that's the problem, Freddie.
Yeah. Problem. I think, though, you're, and that's – because then it's kind of like admitting that, oh, my God, our big line can't get it done. So I think you go with them. I think you start with them. Then the rest of the lines get interesting, but yeah.
And another thing, Shoggy, on that with starting them, when you play against the Vegas Golden Knights, the Golden Knights have six good defensemen. And yeah, they're not afraid to put their second or third pairing out against anybody. The LA Kings are top heavy on the back end. Drew Doughty, they want him out every time against Connor McDavid. Well, if you're starting on home ice, you can dictate when Leon and Connor are on the ice. And there'll be times when Doughty's out there, but you can get them into situations where they're going out against Spence or Englund on the back end. Those defensemen cannot handle Connor and Leon together. So that's why I have them playing together in game one, because the LA defense is not as deep as the Vegas Golden Knights defense. And you can take advantage of it by putting your best players out there and picking the matchups.
Another quick one for you guys. If they do load up the big line, does that make it more or less likely Holloway is in the lineup?
I'm going to let you two talk about this. I'm just going to stay out of the first part of this one.
Well, go ahead, Struts.
No, I'm asking you, do you think that it makes it more or less, if they load up the big line, do you put 55 in or not?
Well, to me, it doesn't change your lineup. Because you still, the problem for Holloway is if you believe that Kane and Holloway and all those guys, or sorry, Kane and Fulk and everyone are top nine players, there's still not that spot for Holloway. And I don't see him being a fourth line guy because the fourth line doesn't play much and he doesn't kill or he's not on the power play. But watching Holloway play, he's outplayed a couple other top nine players in this little stretch he's been up here. So it's one of those, do you put him in the top nine spot and pull out a veteran player? I wouldn't yet, but I do believe that Holloway will play in the first series. I just don't know if it'll be in game one unless Evander Kane isn't 100% healthy.
Yeah, I start with all the veterans. I think he's the guy that becomes the break glass in case of emergency guy. I think that's the guy that you bring in. So I don't know. I think he's going to go with his veterans. I really do. Then that'll be the shot in the arm coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah. I mean, my whole point about Holloway was, is he going to play well enough to get himself into the conversation to be in the lineup for game number one? And I believed the early signs were that he was going to. I think he has. I think he's in the conversation. I think he's outplayed a pile of guys. And I know it's not convenient or easy, but I like the energy. And I think it's going to translate well in the playoffs. And I think the Oilers have a pace issue when he's not in there. And so I like it. I'm still not sure where is the problem, because I do agree it's not ideal on the fourth line. It'd be better for him to be playing with third line caliber players, but you know, he's played well enough that the head coach needs to be scratching his head, trying to figure out a way to make it work, because you know, so you don't start him, Struds. If you don't start him, you're not putting your 12 best forwards out there based on the last, you know, 10 days of the season. Now, some would say that last 10 days of the season doesn't matter that much and you go with the ones that brought you there, but he has consistently outplayed most of the other guys that are in the running for that job. So, you know, I'm torn because I get it's not a great fit, but I love that speed and that energy and that physicality.
Yeah, I can't take too much out of these last few games. You know, yeah. Like I just like tonight, it was that was an exhibition game lineup. Last night in Phoenix or Arizona, whatever you want to call them, it was a weird game. Didn't go back to the weekend. Like I don't know. I can't get too fired up about anything I've seen any of these games. So yeah, I haven't come out of the bullpen, but I agree with you. I think he will come in at some point and kind of bring some juice.
Okay, a couple things from tonight's game that we want to get to, and we'll do it in our takeaway segment. So how did you feel about Stuart Skinner starting behind a skeleton of a lineup, kind of being thrown to the wolves there? Interesting decision from Chris Knobloch. We'll hear from him on that. What about the fact that the Oilers threw in the towel on the prospect of home ice advantage in the third round? They iced a lineup tonight, had no chance. Had they won this game tonight, if they faced Colorado down the road, they would have had home ice advantage. Didn't even try tonight. Two interesting decisions. I want to bat it around a little bit. That's Struddy's world. Ask us anything. Take a lap. Tons more still ahead. Struds, by the way, before we rip to break here, we do need to get in our relentless player of the game brought to you by UCAN Youth Services. At Edmonton Charity, relentless in helping youth age 16 to 24 get out of harm's way and find employment. Visit UCAN.ca. Who are you going to tap tonight, Struds?
There weren't a lot of people that, you know, I didn't think the Oilers played terrible tonight. I know this game doesn't matter, but I thought Warren Fogle is just right now, he's all over that puck. He is, I hope he brings this into, well, not just this, the playoffs, but for him, the rest of his career. I think he's playing at a level we haven't seen consistently in his career, guys.
Brownie, has Fogle earned a spot next to McDavid and Draisaitl on the big line if they throw it together? Because if you can trust Fogle there, that leaves you lots of nice stuff on your second line.
Well, it certainly does. Then you could have Nugent Hopkins, Hyman, Henrik, or Kane, or 100%. Fogle's been excellent. And the last, I know that you're pushing Holloway and how well he's played, and he has been good. But the last five games, Warren Fogle might be your best player. The energy he's brought, if he had any sort of puck luck or maybe just a tad more sense for scoring, he would have had a 30-goal season, and that would be with 10 goals in the last week. He had so many great eight scoring chances. So, I mean, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. If he goes up now, I do think they like Hyman there, and then you have Fogle playing on your second line, either with Henrik or with Kane. I think a lot of question marks, though, is what happens with Kane going forward, how healthy he is. Because it's not just a bump and a bruise if you miss three games coming down the stretch.
100%. All right, that was the breakdown brought to you by Mr. Dirk. Plenty more talk about tonight's game, this playoff series, what's going on around the league. Very short break. Stay with us. The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard to reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
On paper, my life looks exciting.
In reality, not so much.
Every day it's same old, same old.
Clock in, clock out.
Then I discovered Play Alberta. I can play casino games anytime.
Bet on any game.
And buy lottery tickets anywhere in Alberta. I think my spleen is ruptured.
All right, let's keep the discussion rolling with takeaways brought to you by Redefined Health. If you're an athlete, you know how taxing sports can be on your body, Brownie. At Redefined Health, they help athletes like Brownie achieve better overall performance and prevent injuries. Adding professional treatment to your training can be the missing link to pushing Brownie to the next level. Let the team at Redefined Health, Dr. Tyler Fix and company, help you perform at your peak. Visit redefinedhealth.com. Brownie, I think your peak is still ahead of you, buddy. Your best days are still ahead.
Well, my wife's hoping so because she's not satisfied with what she's got right now.
We don't need to go too deep into that one. The schedule came out. Does one of you have it in front of you? You got the schedule, or what? It's going to be Monday, Wednesday?
The schedule is Monday, Wednesday in Edmonton, 8 p.m. starts. Friday, Sunday in L.A., 8:30 Mountain Time starts. Then there is an extra day off, and then they go May 1st, May 3rd, May 5th, which is Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, game 5, 6, 7.
Interesting. Okay.
Let's get some naps in.
Yeah, those are going to be some late nights, no man. Gosh, late night.
8:30. That is nuts. Yeah. Nuts.
Hey, people in Ontario wanting to watch Connor McDavid play have to stay up till 10:30 for puck drop.
And that too, Shoggy, that's the 8:30 where it's 8:30, but then it's on the TNT and we're going to push it back to 8:52 possibility.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's crazy, nice. Man.
Okay, guys, couple of things to discuss here. Chris Knobloch's handling of the lineup the last couple of nights. And I sent out a tweet. I wasn't quite understanding why he would ice that watered down a lineup and then start Skinner. I just thought it exposed him in a way that that could have been ugly. Like that easily could have been 6 or 7 goals. And is that great for a guy that's trying to get himself ready for the postseason? Two things. I didn't like the fact that they threw in the towel on home ice advantage against Colorado completely. I think they could have rested a few guys the other night and a few guys tonight. And I didn't like the fact that they threw Skinner to the Wolves behind a skeleton of a lineup. I don't think it's the end of the world, but I think it was a misstep from a coach that I don't think makes a lot of missteps lineup-wise. Brownie?
First, the Skinner situation. Yeah, that makes sense. You don't want him to sit too long, so why not play him in Arizona if you're playing a full lineup there and then have Pickard play in Colorado? Now, maybe they were expecting Colorado to not ice their best players, but reading the room, Colorado's been playing poorly. Yeah. They needed to have a good effort. They had their star player was 1 point away from setting a franchise record and would want to play. And their other star players in a Norris Trophy race with Quinn Hughes. So reading the room, you feel that Colorado probably was going to ice a pretty good lineup. So for Skinner, if you wanted him to play one of the last two games, it would have made more sense playing in the lineup with his team in front of him. So yeah, I agree with you 100% there. As for trying to win the game and home ice advantage, that's so far down the road. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't think Colorado is going to be there. But to me, that one's not as big a deal. I think the Skinner one would be more on the front burner for me.
Yeah, I think that as far as the beating Colorado in the standings, I think that there was zero value placed on that, obviously, the way
clearly
he iced his lineup. So I'm like, I agree with Brown. I don't think Colorado's going to be there either. I don't think they're going to make it to the third round. So yeah, I think it's probably going to really not matter much. As far as the Skinner thing, I believe that I know there's always conversation between the goalie coach and head coach. How do you guys want to work this? So I think that this isn't something Knobloch would have just done on his own without thinking about it. This would have been done in conjunction with the goalie coach and the goalie. When do you want to play? How do you want to play? And those types of conversations. Maybe Skinner didn't want to sit out from what day is it today? Wednesday. So he would have sat out. He wanted to play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday. He wanted to be one day closer. So I don't know. I'm gonna give him the pass because this wasn't done in a vacuum. It was done with the goalie and the goalie coach, I believe.
Okay, let's get to the Weiss Johnson sound box. They're offering $200 off their Fantech HEPA filter system. Be proactive to keep the air in your home clean. If we have another forest fire season like years past, you'll be happy that you spent a bit of money and put it in, especially for those with respiratory issues. Contact them for this amazing deal by visiting Weiss-Johnson.com today. Jingle. Oh, that was fast. Keith, that You were a little slow the other night, just a touch fast.
you called me out last time, so my finger was itching.
After the word jingle. I'll give credit to Speck, was on the road with the Oilers, and he had a couple questions for Knobloch post-game about these decisions with Skinner.
In hindsight, should Stuart Skinner have been subjected to playing behind that lineup against this team?
No, it's not. Wasn't fair for him. Very difficult. And before we had a plan on how much of the game he was going to play. And, the chances that he saw wasn't a very structured game. The chances weren't just point blank chances. Very difficult for the goalie. And not easy for him.
Yeah. Were you, just so we're clear, did you have a plan to, I assume he was going to play the whole 60 minutes if things went well, or did you not have that plan?
We talked about it, but it wasn't set what we were going to do. But we had some cases on how long we wanted in there, and we're going to just play him by ear.
Okay. I don't really know what to read into all of that. I feel like he was... I don't know, Struds, was there a plan or wasn't there a plan? I do not believe the plan was to play Stuart Skinner for 20 minutes and then have him not play anymore. I think the plan was probably just have him play the game. And it went kind of awry on them. So, again, this isn't the end of the world. It's not a huge deal. Chris Knobloch has shown a fantastic touch with this lineup and this bench. So we're not going to necessarily beat this to death. I think that was a misstep. I really do. I think it was a misstep to have that watered down a lineup and throw your starting goalie right before the playoffs in, because again, that could have easily been a pile of goals, Struds. What did you make of what he had to say there, Struddy?
Yeah, it didn't. It was a little bit confusing, or unclear would be. Did they want him to only play 20? Did they want him to play the whole 60? You're going to see how it goes. I have a hard time believing. Knowing coaches like I do, I just don't think they're just going to kind of play it by feel with their start. Like, okay, we'll just see how it goes. Like, yeah. I have a hard time just believing that, especially, planning when there's so much planning going on. I don't know. Was he going to play 20? Was he going to play the whole 60? I'm not sure.
We're going to play it by year. And then it was, well, before we had a plan. And it's, I think what happened is they went, oh, shit.
Yeah, this is bad. Yeah, we gotta get him out of here.
Oh boy. And I think they adjusted on the fly. And like that happens, Brownie. You gotta adjust on the fly.
Yeah. You do. It's funny listening to him talk. Isn't that how you go into every game with a goalie? Well, our plan is to play him for 60, but I guess we'll see how it goes and see how he's playing. And if they start scoring goals on him, maybe he won't play 60. I honestly think that they had a plan in place. And they were maybe a little surprised that Colorado iced that lineup. If you look around the National Hockey League, I think Winnipeg sat out 8 players tonight. And Vancouver sat out 5.
Colorado needed to lean into it a bit. Like, they've been brutal. They've been getting embarrassed.
They did.
Like, they had to lean into
100%.
It.
100%. Well, that's what I thought. But you don't know until the day of. I mean, there's players in the league, you guys, that if Nathan MacKinnon gets hurt, the Colorado Avalanche aren't winning the Stanley Cup. And I think a lot of people believe that if Connor McDavid is hurt, the Edmonton Oilers' chance to win the Stanley Cup go greatly down, more so than any other teams. You can take anyone off Dallas, you can take anyone off Winnipeg, and it will hurt them, but it won't decimate them like losing Connor or losing MacKinnon. They're that good. So I think maybe they're thinking, okay, well, they're not going to play MacKinnon, because he's too valuable. If they lose him, their year's out. So that's the only thing that I could think of, if why you would take all your players out, yet put your star goalie in. Like, to me, if you're taking all your players out, well, here you go, Calvin. We're sorry. Yeah. We'll buy you a nice dinner afterwards, but this one's going to be on you. We're saving the big guy for the big games.
And that's his job. That's his job. Like, honestly, that's when you're the backup, you're there to take the hits for the big guy. But I'll say this, honestly, guys, what are we? It's Thursday, so we got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3 days to just, clear the mechanism. And ultimately, I'm not sure it's really going to matter. Like, I think that the biggest thing is that the skaters got rested. And the skater I'm specifically looking at is Ekholm. I wouldn't have played Ekholm yesterday or today. I would have sat him out two games in a row, knowing what we saw when he sat out those five games when he was sick and how he's played since that return. So that's the guy I would have sat out two games, but he got one. All those guys got one. They're all healthy, feeling good, heading into game one on Monday.
Let's get into the Weis Johnson YouTube mentions. Steve, I'm going to give you another chance here. Visit Weis-Johnson.com for more. Jingle. Weis Johnson. Whoa. A little slow. Zoe R says Skinner isn't dumb. He understands the situation he was in. I'm sure he probably figured it wasn't going to be all sunshine and roses. That's a measured thought. Kathy DZ says Skinner seems to be the most mentally strong goalie we've had in a while. I'm not worried. Shane Matheson says totally agree, Kathy. He's already forgotten it. Nick Milan says Skinny will play some T Swift and shake it off. Get ready for game one. He is a pro. Kryzant says the coach got exposed. Noel Rinsky is complaining, saying in all caps, people are making it the end of the world. I don't think anybody's doing that, respectfully, Noel. I think it's just Struds. This is a classic notable, bud. This is just a classic fall right into that notable category, pal.
And maybe it's a bit overthinking. You know, I think that maybe, again, that coach's room, you're overthinking it and trying to think through things. The simple would have just played Scalvin, you're playing back to back. Bang. Simple.
Yeah, man. Play Skinner against Arizona and play Calvin in the last one against Colorado. I think that makes sense. I'm not as convinced that home ice advantage means absolutely nothing. Like, the Oilers are a good enough team that it's okay to be thinking a couple of rounds out. Expect to be in the third round. And if you'd address, so here was the balance. You play everybody last game, and it allows your power play unit to all be together, right? One more game with everybody together. That's what they benefited by playing everybody last game against Arizona. Then the other option would have been sit half of the guys last night and then half of the guys tonight, and then you've at least got a chip and a chair and a chance to try and grab home ice advantage, because the Colorado Avalanche, gentlemen, are the best home ice team in the league. They got that elevation advantage. They're dynamite on home ice. And sure, it feels like way down the road until you're in game seven in Denver going, oh boy. I'm just saying it's okay for the Oilers to be thinking three rounds ahead because they're that good and they should. So I'm not sure I would have erred on the side of letting the power play together one more time versus maybe icing a lineup that would have had a chance tonight, Struds.
No, I would have. I like the way they did it as far as rest everyone the same night. Just rest them all this game here. You get them in. There's bubble wrap them. Get them into the playoffs healthy. I could see what you're saying. You know, like if you wanted to play Ekholm and Bouchard last night, I could understand what you're kind of getting into.
I'm with you, Struds. You're not going to play half and half, because if you really have that much interest in winning this game to have game seven in the third round, then you play your whole lineup. You don't say, okay, we're going to play Connor and Dude.
It doesn't have to be all or nothing.
It does. If it's that important, and you say it's important, if it's that important, then you address everyone. But if it's not that important. Well, I don't think it's that important. I don't think it's that important. I think it would have been really, would have looked really dumb for the Edmonton Oilers to dress everyone to try to get home ice against the team that they may play three rounds from now. And in that game, Bouchard takes a slap shot on the power play and it hits Hyman in the foot and breaks his foot.
I never said they should dress everyone. I never said that.
But if you're not going to try to win the game, then don't dress any of them. Don't, putting in two guys, why? Game seven, three rounds from now, who cares? It does not matter. You got to win your first round first. So to me, I think they did the exact right thing, sitting all the players out tonight. Now you know every one of those players is healthy for game one.
Strutty, last word, buds.
There's no chance Colorado beats Winnipeg.
But they can't be saying to themselves there's zero chance they'll be there. Even consider it.
They're not saying it. I'm saying it. Okay. Hellebuck's not losing to either one of those goaltenders.
I love it. That's going to be a whale.
And neither team has beaten the Dallas Stars. And neither team has beaten the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, there you go.
You don't think Winnipeg? I think Winnipeg might beat them. That's a long ways down the road, though.
Interesting.
Okay.
They're already thinking about that, though. They're thinking about Game 7.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good debate. And again, this is not the end of the world on Chris Knobloch. He has shown himself to have an excellent touch with this lineup. So I was just surprised tonight. I thought I was a little bit surprised. So definitely worth mentioning, but definitely not the end of the world. Let's get to the best segment on the entire podcast. The best segment that's ever been done on the podcast. And that is going to be Brownie Points, brought to you by Hamel's Beef Jerky. Oh, some samples arrived in the mail today, boys. Oh, is it high-end stuff? It's an Alberta-based family-owned business opened in 1962. And their beef jerky is out of this world. Hamel's Meats sent their sweet and spicy jerky to the International Space Station in 2009. I'm going to read that part of the ad read every night. I think it's so cool that their jerky went into space. For the month of April, get 3 pounds of beef jerky for $85 and free shipping. You can mix and match from their 14 flavors. Fast shipping anywhere in Alberta. Visit albertajerky.com. Jingle. No jingle for them. We need a jingle for Alberta Jerky.
I was going to sing Brownie. Something.
Yeah. What do you got, Brownie?
I tell you, I got my box about 3 days ago. So my wife and I have had it the last 3 days. Oh, my God, is it delicious. It is so good. Yeah, yeah. And there's all kinds of different types. It is really, really good. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Brownie Points for tonight. It's a combination of last night and tonight because we didn't do a show last night. Or if you guys did a show, you didn't invite me to it. But here we go. 105 Brownie Points to Nikita Kucherov for being the fifth player in the history of the National Hockey League to get 100 assists. I watched that game. He probably could have had 9 assists in that game.
Yep.
And you talk about players resting. He played 20 minutes in the first 2 periods alone. They were trying to get him assists. That was pretty cool. 69 Brownie Points from Austin Matthews. It wasn't 70, but 69 is a really good year, too. I've got minus 100 for the NHL not letting us know when the playoffs started until after the game tonight. They lose 100 points for that one. 20 Brownie Points for Warren Fogle scoring his 20th goal of the season. He was an excited young man last night when he scored that 20th goal. It carried into today's game. 1,000 Brownie Points for the Edmonton Oilers getting through the last 2-0 games with no injuries. Playing healthy to start the playoffs is huge. That's my biggest ever announcement of 1,000 points.
And that's the biggest one ever, Brownie. Game.
It is the biggest one ever, but the playoffs, so we haven't had playoff Brownie Points yet. They're going to be huge. But the last one, 33 Brownie Points for Victor Arvidsson for finally allowing us to know who the Edmonton Oilers are playing in the playoffs with 1 minute and 20 seconds left in the entire National Hockey League season. Arvidsson scored a goal to tie the game so that we, Edmonton Oilers fans, get to cheer against the LA Kings.
Holy snap. You are doling out. You doled out 1,000, 11, 12, 13. You doled out like 1,300 Brownie Points tonight, buddy.
Feeling good.
I have so many Brownie Points in my pocket. I am just giving them out. Like Struds gives out chicken wings to old people in old bars in Grand Prairie.
Yeah, creepy. Can I just give out one? I'm going to give out 34 points for the I just got the note. I saw it on Twitter.
What are we doing here? What are you doing here?
I'm just jumping on the back.
Why do you think that you
Because it's appropriate. It's appropriate. I just see the tweet. You guys didn't see the tweet.
What's he doing here, Brownie? This is your segment.
I don't know. Do I get to walk on Strutty's World? Sometime?
I don't. I guess from now on, you can just jump in right in the middle of Strutty's World and start doing opinions of yours. I guess if you.
Winnipeg
I'm going to talk about shoveling my driveway one day. Here, this is how you shovel your driveway.
Pierre LeBrun just tweeted out that apparently Winnipeg Jets are sitting Hellebuck for the first 3 games, so he's rested for the second round against against Dallas.
Really? Was he being a smartass?
Pierre LeBrun said that, or maybe it was the other guy, Gordy Dwyer, whatever. Oh. Someone, I forget who it was.
34. Gordy, do you accept those? You get the final say.
Oh my goodness. That is, I am giving an extra 123 brownie points to Struds for his really good brownie point give out to Winnipeg.
Yeah.
See, I thought you might have had some. Now, I won't be so bold as to just try and hand some out because it's clearly not my place, and I know my place. I would have thought maybe there might have been 89 brownie points tonight, bud, for a little special little Oiler forward that got in the lineup maybe for the last time.
Yeah, we talked about it on our show before the game, whether Adam Ernie and obviously Sam Gagner, if it's their last ever NHL game. I didn't want to say that. Because I didn't want to put that out there because I haven't heard if Sam Gagner is coming back, if he wants to keep playing. So I don't want to be the one that says, hey, for Sam Gagner's last ever NHL game. So
you could have given him to the coach myself for getting Gagner in. 89 to Chris Knobloch for having Gagner in the lineup for the last game of the year. Could have been that.
Actually, what would have been nice? Would have been nice 24 brownie points if they would have called up Brad Malone his last ever game before he retired. That would have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is good for nice kid. Played some playoff games for the Oilers, had a nice career. Good for him.
Yeah. Mike Smith there chimed in. 89 points to Sam Gagner. Definitely wanting that. By the way, Steve, are your feelings hurt at all? Because Mike Smith is really concerned about you. He literally said, Ryan, quit being so hard on Steve. And then there was talk of me being taken to HR.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is constructive feedback I'm giving you on your timing. Yeah. This is about your fast twitch. This isn't work in general. You're a little slow.
No, it's just I did text HR, by the way. That is your wife.
Yeah. Oh, my wife.
Text received.
No, I actually just typed something in the comments and I hadn't even sent it yet. And I said, we're all great buddies, folks. Chirping is half the fun. If we weren't chirping, then there's something to be concerned about.
All right. Steve, that's enough talking till the end of the podcast, bud, but thanks.
Sorry, boss.
Love you, buddy. Brownie, great job tonight on Brownie Points, brought to you by Hamel's Premium Jerky that we all are loving these days. Brownie, I think we're going to do a setup pod on Sunday night to dig into all the latest. By then, we'll know line combinations, we'll know more. There'll be other series underway, so we'll talk to you on Sunday night, pal.
Sounds good. Good night, guys.
All right, the great Rob Brown. When we come back, tons more to get through. We got Take a Lap, we got Struddy's World, and we got Ask Us Anything. Stay with us. For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com. Longshots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
Spring is here, and if you're thinking of buying a new home during the housing market hot period, contacting a mortgage broker should be your first step. Maria Gallas with Maximo Mortgages can guide you with a stress-free experience. With access to dozens of different lenders, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you ready to put an offer in on your dream home. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallas at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here, someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Guy, look good.
Love the jingle. Love the shipwreck jingle. Time now for Strutty's World, brought to you by Shipwreck Rum. If you haven't yet had the experience of this amazing flavored rum, blended on the Caribbean island of St. Kitts, do yourself a favor and grab a bottle today. The Brindley family's been at this for decades. Their spiced rum is aged 4 years in bourbon barrels, infused with natural vanilla. Get Shipwreck, fans, available at your local liquor retailer. And as always, excuse me, please enjoy responsibly. Strutty?
Today, the New Jersey Devils, well, like many teams, kind of had their clean up and got things over with. And Ryan Rashog sent in the whole situation with Tom Fitzgerald, the GM and president, his thoughts on their team. And it was about 40 minutes. And it's always insightful to hear what the GM thinks at the end of the year, especially when they don't win the Stanley Cup. So he kind of goes on and on, or not on, but he talks a little bit about, I got the sense he was talking about the team maybe not always being professional, not being in shape. And then he was kind of asked a question about, you know, just small little details. So let's hear about, this is the GM, Tom Fitzgerald, talking about kind of details within a group.
To be honest, I probably have let my guard down on a lot of areas that may not matter up front, but the looser you get, it may be just dress code with people. You loosen it up a little bit, you know the old saying, right? You give an inch, they take a yard. You give a yard, you know, it's be a little tighter. You know,
that's good, Steve, right there. That's really good. So this is my take. So, you know, when you hear the word dress code, you're like, oh God, this guy worries if Jack Hughes is wearing a button up or a tie down. Like it doesn't matter. Maybe not. And I think that the dress code is maybe a bad example in this situation, but I believe what he's talking about the details of preparation. So when in the summer, are the players doing their full workouts? Are they doing more than asked? Are they coming ready to prepare? When they come to training camp, are they there on time? You know, as far as, I'm not talking about coming on September 1st, but are you, like, when the session starts at 9, are you there at 9 or are you there at 9:01? Are you late for meetings? Or is the bus, when it says the bus leaving at 10, do you get on the bus at 10:05? All these little details, if there's a no phone rule, within the dressing room during a game, are you still looking at your phone? Like, so just little things. And everyone, we all have our own quirks. I can tell you as a player, there are things I probably did that probably annoyed my coach or whatever, just as far as not the game, just preparation for game. I believe in details. I think it does make a difference. So I don't think that the dress code is really the biggest one on the paper, but it just feels like and sounds like, Shoggers, you listen to his whole press conference, he's talking about it being pretty casual there in New Jersey, and maybe the guys aren't quite up to being his standard or what he thinks required to be a professional hockey player that lives, breathes, and just dreams it. And I think the guy we could point to is here in Edmonton. I don't think there's anything Connor McDavid does that doesn't have a purpose towards being the best player he can be for his team.
Yeah, great points there, Struds. And I mean, the backdrop to this is a Jersey team that had much greater hopes than where their season ended up taking them, right? This is not the place that they want to be in at all. And so it's going to be reflection across the board for management and staff and all of those things. Now, I agree with you. It's like small little details do add up and it presents part of the big picture. I'm actually more, and I'm maybe a little bit more old school in my thinking about this. I have no issue whatsoever with a team wanting its players to dress professionally and to dress a certain way to come to their job. I don't have any issue with that at all. If a team were to say, look, guys, be as creative and fun as you want, but wear a suit and a tie. Like, wear a suit and a tie. That's our standard. When we show up for work, we're ready to be professional. We expect you all to conduct yourselves professionally, and this is our standard. Now, I don't have an issue with that. Some people do, and some people think it's too stuffy and too old school and all that. But as long as you're reasonable and you treat people well, I think it's okay to decide it for an organization. This is one of the details, the way we present ourselves, that's important to us. So I really didn't have that much of an issue with it. Now, is that going to equal the difference between winning and losing, whether you wear a suit and a tie to a game or not? I don't think so, Struds. But I think managers should have some ability to control some of that stuff and to set certain standards in place. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, the next guy will do his thing.
I feel at times when you're focusing on a tiny little detail like that, maybe you're not sure about the other answers. And let me give them two that might be able to help them. Goaltending and bigger players. Those are two issues they have. I mean, you look at that team.
Sons, it can't be. It's not like he never mentioned goaltenders or other issues with the team all day long. I mean, we picked out. We're cherry picking this one thing.
Well, I know. But what I'm saying is I agree with the details. But so today I don't know if you noticed during the game, Connor did not have a tie on watching the game upstairs.
Sure.
Or Hyman had they were going back and forth. Was it a turtleneck or not? And that's a whole nother conversation, whether that's right or wrong about a turtleneck. But like the whole thing, like, so it's to me, there are certain details that really matter. And I think as a player, you show up and you look presentably, look nice, that's good enough. I can live with that. If you show up late and you weren't a suit, I'm not going to be happy. I have a real problem with tardiness, because that tells me you're not ready to go. If you show up and you look kind of half asleep still, your hair is on sideways, I don't like that look either. Like that to me is more damning than a guy coming with a Duran Duran t-shirt and a pair of jeans. Like those details matter to me more than perhaps what they're wearing.
I think it's about reading your group. I think it's about working with leadership and reading your group. If your analysis of your group is we got a lot of young guys and they're all, you know, we don't have a lot of maybe structure in our veteran group and structure in our leadership core, and we're relying on a lot of young guys. We feel as an organization we need to implement a little bit more structure in a few areas to compensate for the fact that a lot of our core people haven't been around long enough to just be making sure on some of these. Like, I'm okay with it, man. Like, as long as you're allowing people to be themselves and you're allowing people to express themselves and not being stuffy and ridiculous, like the Lou Lamoriello shavings. I mean, it's ridiculous. That's the kind of stuff that's just goofy. But to say, listen, when you're coming to the
Stanley Cups,
well, right. So
by what you're saying, that should be allowed. That should be good.
But that's
I disagree with that.
See, no, but to me, that's different. That's telling somebody, that would be like saying you have to, you know, you have to have your hair a certain length. You have to have your facial hair a certain length.
The Yankees did that.
We only want, I know, but that's the stuff that we're past. I think we're past that stuff, Struds. But I think if as a group you get together and say, okay, what are we doing for a dress code for morning skates? And the group is like, well, why don't we get matching tracksuits, and for our group, some structure and some, you know, some of that would be good. Let's do that. So then, okay, whatever the group decides, you know, everybody stick to it, and it allows you to have little points of structure, and you're all part of that. As long as your players are on board and agree to it, and it's not draconian, I think it's fine.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I would, that'd be way at the end of my list
for sure. Me
and
too.
I don't care how good the GM looks. If they don't find a goalie or bigger players, they're going to be talking about the same thing all the time.
I agree. It's not at the top of my priority list either.
I just can't get past that. So I think,
yeah,
it's at times these little details can become a distraction for the group because they can't deal with the heart of the issue. And to me, with the Devils, that's the heart of the issue.
Right on. Strutty's World brought to you by Shipwreck Rum. Okay, playoff matchups are set. So as we get into our take a lap segment, I think we're going to take a quick lap around the league, Strutty. You and I make a couple of predictions. We'll figure out what this first round is going to look like. So let's get to that. It'll be brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet. And it is now even better. Backscape 2.0. The friction fit handle allows you to effortlessly snap the shaver in and out to touch up the rest of your body. And the shave head gives a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. We've got a promo code for you. GYB10 for 10% off advanced deluxe kits, the 2.0 kits. So use that at backscape.com. That's backscape.com. And use the promo code GYB10 for 10% off. Yes, stay smooth, gentlemen. And Strutty, this 2.0 is legit. I actually just got sent this. And the difference of this thing, bud? Look at that thing. Just slips right in and out of there. So the first iteration wasn't like this. It was a little bit more difficult to get this thing in and out. But now, thing just pops in and out. You can use it wherever you want to use it. So
Are we going to get a live demo right now or what?
Sure. You know what? While we're taking a lap, I'm going to shave my chest. I kid. Strud,
we are after midnight, so you know.
Yeah. Let's get through this. Strud, you want to start out east? We'll run through the series there.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So Canes and Islanders. I've got the Canes in five games. I think they're too strong. I think they got better. And I think the Isles are happy to be there and good on them, but I got the Canes in five.
Yeah, and so before I get into my predictions, I have the right to change these before Sunday night. Let's just say that because we're going to get together again and chat.
Okay.
Because there are some
that's weird sandbagging.
Well, no, because some of these out west are relatively new, and I want to make sure I kind of look at a little bit more at it. I don't want to just be shooting out of nowhere, so I got to give a little bit of time. So I agree. As much as the Islanders have played well recently, I also like the Canes. But I'm because of the way the Islanders have played recently, I'm going with the Canes in six in this. Oh,
interesting. By the way, for our Ask Us Anything segment, if you want to fire in some predictions, go ahead. Steve's monitoring the feed, and you can give us your playoff predictions. By the way, somebody named Boob in the chat already threw in a Kings in six, and that has ignited the chat. Something fierce. Wow. A call for the Kings has been made in the Weiss Johnson YouTube chat. Leafs and Bruins. You go ahead on that one, Struds.
I hear everyone calling this a coin toss. What coin toss are we talking about here? Have you looked at the goalie situation? The goalies and the D, I believe, make a big difference. There's a lot of firepower up front for the Leafs, no doubt about it. But I just don't see it. I cannot see it happening. So I'm going to go again. I'll go a Bruins in five.
I got the Bruins in six games. I think that the Leafs stars are going to put up a real good fight. I don't think they're going to want to go quietly. But weird stuff from Sheldon Keefe the last couple of days, hey? Like he was talking about how Nylander's sick of regular season hockey. Talking about how if he was concerned about their recent results, he's like, I couldn't even tell you the score of tonight's game, let alone any. Basically saying we don't give a crap and haven't for a few games. The important stuff is about to start. Well, you better start on time because you got the Boston Bruins. I got the Bruins in six. Panthers in seven. Over the Tampa Bay Lightning in what I think will be one of the, if not the best series of the first round, Struds.
Oh, it's going to be great. I'm really happy the way these Eastern ones went down. I've had some time to think about this. I'm going Bolts. I'm going to go Bolts in seven. And I think it's going to be Vasilevskiy that makes a big difference. So Bolts in seven.
Yeah, that's a fair call. Like say what you want, man. The Tampa Bay Lightning, you talk about the spine of a team. You know, you got to have the high-end forward, the high-end defenseman, the high-end goaltender. Like, they are just so good. By the way, Steve's got a poll going as well in the chat here, asking for your prediction in the Oilers series as well. Rangers and Capitals. Go, Streds.
Can I do it in three? Rangers in four. I think the Caps, it's a nice story that got in, but I got Rangers in four.
Yeah, I can't imagine when the Rangers really apply themselves to this thing. I'm not sure how much pushback Washington is going to be able to muster. I agree with you. It's been a good story, wing and a prayer, weird circumstance that they get in under. I think they've had their big party already. Jets and the Avalanche. I know you said you feel like maybe Winnipeg can get past them. I think Colorado's going to win this in seven games. I'm going the Avalanche in seven games. Yeah.
Okay, just based on what? So just give me the basis of this.
I think that much in the way that Connor McDavid can carry a team through a series if he has to, I think Nate McKinnon has that ability this year. I think Nate McKinnon's going to do some unreal stuff, and I think he's going to be able to propel them at least through this series. So right sheerly on the strength of arguably the best player in the world this year right now.
Okay. Did Nate McKinnon, did they trade for a guy named Nate McKinnon as a goaltender?
I know what you're saying. I can't,
out of respect for your one, I'll go Jets in six. I had it down to five, but I'll go in six. I think the goaltending is going to be a major issue for that group. And the Jets are so deep. They're really deep. Their defense, they have guys sitting out that are good defensemen. Like I think they're not going to blow them away, but they're going to grind them down like erosion.
I'm interested in your next prediction. The Vancouver Canucks and the Nashville Predators. I have never seen a team finish where the Vancouver Canucks have finished and have so few people believing in them in any way, shape, or form. And quite frankly, that includes their fan base when you look online at the way they're talking about their team. What are you doing with the Canucks and the Predators?
So this is the one I want more time to look at. I will give a prediction tonight, but I got to just look at it a little bit more than I have so far. This one I think is could go any which way, but I will go Canucks in six. I think that Demko, Saros probably saw each other off, and I like a little bit more offensive ice firepower for Vancouver than we see with Nashville. Although like guys like we know Forsberg, those guys are, and I think Riley had 25 or 30 goals this year. Like they've got some. I know there's something I like about Van. So I'm going to go Van in six. But again, I reserve the right to change this on Sunday.
Who do you think plays better in the series? Hughes or Riosi? Which D-man do you think will impact that series more meaningfully?
That's a good one. I think Roman Josi's been through it before.
That's what I mean.
He'll probably be the guy that plays better. And I worry about the size of Quinn Hughes. I'm guessing that Nashville's going to try to lay the body on that guy every which way they can.
I've got the Vancouver Canucks in six games as well. I have the Dallas Stars beating Vegas. I'm going to give it six games because I think Vegas is going to get some bodies back, and I think they'll put up a good fight. I might be giving it one too many games, but I'm going to say six games between Dallas and Vegas.
Who's the starting goalie for Vegas?
Yeah, well.
Aiden Hill looks like he's playing on roller skates right now.
I know it wasn't good, man. It wasn't
and that's good not. I'm not being disrespectful, but from what we saw last year to what we saw now, even you go back to when they played the Oilers, like he does not. He's not comfortable in the pipes, and I get it. He hasn't played a ton, so I've got Dallas in five. I really think that they're a very deep team, deeper than Winnipeg, and I think Winnipeg is deep, well deep.
I think the Oilers are going to come out like house on fire. I think they're going to be rocking and rolling, and I think they're going to start better this year than they have in previous years, and they get an early lead here, and I think they're going to – I'm going to give them five games. That's probably not respecting the Kings enough. I think I did the same thing last year. I'm going to go the Oilers in five.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I'm probably not going to go Kings in six. But I think that time's going – someone in six is kind of gutless. So I'll go with you. I got Oilers in five as well. I'm going to go Oilers in five.
Interesting.
I think the goaltending is a pretty big difference. I don't see a huge difference in the D. I think that the Oilers are, you know, they've got some good D there. You look at some of the scorers for LA have struggled. Noticeably, Byfield hasn't scored a lot so lately. So I got Oilers in five.
All right. That's your quick roundup. Lots of great contributions coming in on the stream as well. Oilers in six, I see. Nick Mellon calling the Oilers in five. Nishan Carell just flat out asking, is LA better or worse than last year? Probably a fair question given the Dubois trade and how it watered down their lineup and affected them, Struds. Hey, like that, you look at their lineup, man, and I was looking at their lineup from last year. Boy, they're missing those guys. I have Fallow and company.
Whew. Yeah, it's tough. Although I think Quentin Byfield's been playing a bit with Pierre-Luc Dubois, and they've been doing better. Or it seems like that's been a pretty decent line for them.
Yeah.
Pretty big, heavy line. So something to watch for, like, who's matched up against that for the Oil.
Yeah. That was Taking a Lap, brought to you by Backscape. All right, Steve, hop on in here, my friend. Time for Ask Us Anything. We get everybody on the stream involved. By the way, really healthy audience on the live show tonight. We really appreciate your contributions. We will lovingly ask that you pound that love button. If you get an opportunity, hit that like button for us. Apparently that helps us. It's what the kids tell me. So if you don't mind, go ahead and do that for us. Time for Ask Us Anything. And it'll be brought to you by Match Eatery and Public House, your destination for all the sports action, big screens, ice cold beer, and all your pub favorites perfected. Match Eatery and Public House, adjacent to Rogers Place in the Granville Casino. For more information, check out matchpub.com. Steve, we will do the poll last wrap up. Ask Us Anything. How would you characterize our our live stream tonight, my friend.
Everyone's cautiously optimistic. That's how I'd characterize it. Everyone's excited. I think people are excited that we're facing LA. Yeah, they're just not being too boastful about it. Yeah, it sounds like most people, I would say, have a good feeling about this first round.
So, and sure. We should clarify too, Steve, you're a Monstro Oiler fan too. Like Monstro Oiler fan,
I am.
Steve. So he's right there with you. Yeah. Go ahead, buddy. What do we got?
Okay. So, one prediction, Nathan Jameson says Canes in six, Rangers in five, Bolts in six, Bruins in seven, Stars in six, Jets in seven, Oilers in five, Canucks in seven. I thought that was all pretty good.
Yeah, pretty mainstream. Mainstream. Didn't go for a lot of, for sure.
The Killed Zombie, very early in the stream, as soon as we opened it up, said LA versus Edmonton, battle of suspect goaltending. Made me laugh.
Struds, how much, like Skinner... Skinner last year wasn't at the level that he would have wanted to be at, Struds. You've talked a lot about Skinner all year long. What's your sense on what Stu Skinner is ready to throw out here?
I think the fact that he went through it last year is huge. Until you're in the playoffs, until you felt it, the pressure, the intensity, even the scheduling, all that stuff, you have no idea what you're getting into. He now knows. Stu is a very relaxed guy, very calm guy. I think that he is mentally and physically ready for this, whereas last year he didn't know what to go into. So I'm way more comfortable with him in there. And to suggest that both teams, the Oilers and the Kings, both have bad goaltending, I think you're mischaracterizing what we've seen all year from Stu Skinner.
Steve, I'm going to take one more here from JL. Says, has Ryan heard anything regarding who the new general manager will be? That's going to be a pretty significant talking point when the season is over. Struds, my guess is there are probably some clandestine conversations happening in the moment and a list of names somewhere and maybe even some conversations happening. This is an important position, and I know we're very focused on the playoffs and such right now, but this is something that has to be pretty high on Jeff Jackson's to-do list. I just don't think we're going to hear much about it at all during the playoffs. I would say it's like the duck. Calm on top, feet are going hard underneath.
Yeah, there's no reason to bring this up now. It has nothing to do, like for the players to hear this and to think about who's going to be dealing with me on my next contract like that. This is not the time. You want the noise around the team as quiet as possible. So you're right. I'm sure they are figuring it out and looking at what who they want to talk to. But I'd be blown away if that was even mentioned at all in what we hope to be the next weeks.
Okay, Nick Mellon coming in with the X factor here. He says, teams like Winnipeg and Dallas, I don't trust they have the factor they need. Colorado and Vegas have won and they know what it takes. So that factor of, teams that have won in the past versus ones that haven't, how significant is that, Struds?
Well, every team that, until they win, they haven't won. So I think that's kind of how it works. You look at some of those guys from Dallas, they've been to the final before. I know there's not many of them left there. But I would rather have a lot of good players. Like, I think Dallas has more good players than Avs do, although the Avs have some probably higher end ones. But the Dallas has some more depth through their lineup. And I think that shows in what they got, how many 20 goal scorers they got. So I think that I believe it's going to be Dallas, Winnipeg over there. And then I think obviously Vancouver, Edmonton over here, but it's going to be tough. And then getting out of that, these teams are big and physical. It's going to be tough.
I can't get Ottinger's performance against the Calgary Flames a couple of years ago out of my head. He was,
but he hasn't been
out of this world. Like
he was, and he won them.
So beef jerky out of this world,
but he hasn't been, he hasn't been that guy all year this year, right? He's shown signs of it. Yeah. But I do believe that, again, if once he gets locked on, like assuming they continue to win, the further he goes, the better he's going to get. And I think that's kind of scary if you're in that division or in the Western Conference, actually.
You concerned at all that Kane hasn't played at all here lately, Struds?
I don't know. I need to know what the injury is. He's playing before. Like he played and maybe they said, screw it, just sit this guy and let's just make him healthy and fresh legs. Do you think there's a chance he doesn't start game one?
I don't think so. I don't think it's been serious enough that my guess is he probably could have been playing, but they're just making sure. Yeah. My concern with Kane is, like, you don't want him missing too much time. You know, you want him, if he's going to push for more minutes, he needs to be able to handle those minutes, right? So whatever the injury is, hopefully it allows him to work cardio and stay in shape. And, you know, I'm not sure if he's been skating on the road or not, but, like, you want him in tip-top shape come playoff time to handle 18, 19 minutes if that's right. What his play dictates. You don't want to have this guy that you would want to get out on the ice more, but he hasn't been playing enough and he's not able to handle it. I think that's critical.
I don't think he'd drop. How many, what has he been out for, about a week?
Yeah, give or take.
You're not dropping off that quick. Like, if it's a month, but a week, mm-hmm. you know, like, I'll be interested to see, because when I'm guessing tomorrow, Friday's a day off and probably practice Saturday, Sunday. I would expect to see him back on the ice Saturday if he's playing in game one. Now, if he's not practicing Saturday and the whole team practices, then probably a little different conversation.
Steve-O, yeah. Couple more, bud.
Okay, we got a Janmark one and a Fogel one. So Reapple was saying, if you're playing Janmark over Holloway, you're lost. And Shane Matheson replied with, Janmark just went three games where the line against him didn't even get a shot on net. Janmark is the definition of playoff hockey. Thoughts on what Janmark's going to bring in these playoffs? Shocker.
Yeah, and I think the head coach is going to gravitate towards putting him in. I'm not sure if he would need to be the answer for Holloway to come out. I guess I wonder if Sam Carrick needs to be in. Can Janmark be as effective as a center? He's played there before. Has Holloway been good enough that you're willing to put Janmark in the middle and pull Carrick? I think that's an interesting question. I think Holloway will throw as many body checks through the course of a night, and he'll push pace, whereas Carrick will take it the other way. I think Janmark has a chance to be decent for them. He'll kill penalties. And the thing about Janmark, and you can't deny it, is his lines don't give up a lot against. And he's real good. His analytics are real good on that front. So I get it. I totally get it. I think he's going to be good. And I can see why a coach would lean that way, Struds.
Veterans are predictable. And people don't want to hear that, but they are predictable. Janmark, you know what you're getting night in, night out. And that's valued in the playoffs.
Okay, Roe Nelson, sorry, on Fogel. Says Fogel's too soft for the playoffs. He has 2 goals, 2 assists in 25 playoff games with the Oilers and -7 with 16 penalty minutes in 12 games last playoffs. Let's not pin our hopes on 37. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously Fogel has matured quite a bit since last year. Thoughts
on the regular season bounce, hey Steve? Like, he was so good during the regular season. Like, guys, he just needs to take that confidence and rock and roll right into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, just don't even think about the past.
I don't think he's ever played better hockey, honestly. The way he's driving, attacking the net, and maybe there's some recency bias there, but honestly, I think he's playing really well. So I don't have, you know, exceedingly high hopes that he's going to go Pisani here on this, but I think that I want him driving the net, attacking the puck, driving that puck to the net, hitting bodies. Like, that's what I want to see from him. If he scores, great. But if he plays the way I just outlined, he will score some goals.
All right, Steve, you got any more? Or are we going to wrap it?
Let's just end it with the poll results.
Yeah.
So, I could only fit 4 options for the poll. So I said, place your bets. Oilers in 4, only 5% agreed with that. Oilers in 5 or 6, and a whopping 81% of respondents said said Oilers in 5 or 6. Oilers in 7 was 7%, and Kings win the series was only 5%. So the vast majority...
Everybody likes that safe. Yeah, that safe little 5 to 6 range. Yeah, that's a safe bet. All right, that was Ask Us Anything, brought to you by Match Eatery and Public House. Time now for our play of the day, brought to you by Play Alberta. When the puck drops, the bets don't stop, right? Now with the odds boosts on games that you care about the most, Scott Your Back has an exclusive offer that'll score you a $50 free bet. Just deposit today at playalberta.ca with the promo code GYB50. So once again, that's playalberta.ca, promo code GYB50, and that'll score you a $50 free bet. Strutty, what was the play of the day today?
This could be like a butterfly's wings hitting a pond or whatever that saying is. Victor Arvidsson scoring in the dying seconds of the game, so the Oilers play the Kings. So what, in some alternate universe, he doesn't score, the Oilers are playing the Vegas. I have no idea this is going to affect, but I'm sure we'll break it down. if it goes really well for the Oilers or really badly, we'll talk about Victor Arvidsson and what he did to make this happen. So that's to me, it affects everything, the Western Conference.
That was clutch, man. That was clutch. Came through. And it's been a crazy couple of nights just in terms of the standings crazy. Finalizing themselves. Hey, we didn't get to talk the other night with all that mayhem, but how about Torts pulling the goalie? Didn't know how many teams that affected. Like, that was bizarro world.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know what? I think the team that probably deserved got in out east.
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue Detroit, but they had some pretty tough losing streaks. So, but honestly, whoever's getting in there wasn't winning. So it doesn't matter. It's a great, great vacation for 7 days.
The play of the day brought to you by Play Alberta. Boys, the regular season is over. Hallelujah. Time to talk some playoff hockey. I'm fired up. I'm really excited, man. Like, this is going to be really good. And there's a lot riding on this. This Oiler team has lots of pressure, but Oiler fans have lots to be hopeful about. It's going to be fun, Struds.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to watching the Oilers, but then on non-Oiler nights, well, oh, just watching it
so
all.
Many good games.
This could be a crazy playoffs. I really think this will be a great 2 months.
We're going to be doing some late-ass podcasts, though, Steve. Oh, I don't know if you and Zuby are ready, man, because the work just starts for you when the show ends. How are you feeling about these 8:30 starts, bud?
Well, at least we're Pacific time, so we get one extra hour.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, fair enough. Steve, sending lots of love your way, buddy. You know we love you.
Right back at you guys.
All right. Take care, man. We'll talk again real soon. Struds, good job today, friend.
Likewise. Talk to you guys Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday night. Thanks to everybody that hopped in on the live stream. And if you're consuming us in podcast form, hey, hope you're having a safe drive. Thanks for downloads. And thanks for your subscriptions as well. We'll talk Sunday night. We'll have more information. We'll know what the lines look like, potentially. Lots of great talking points. We'll hear what the players are saying. We'll set it all up for you on Sunday night. We'll see you then. Cheers, everyone.